times a day. But there's one thing about it. Our time, our perilous times today, are nothing compared to eternity. What we're going to talk about is eternity right now. It's about voices from Hades. And we're in Luke, the 16th chapter, verses number 19. Now, I probably have preached on this message, or messages like this, probably at least 50 times in my life, which is, I've been preaching for a little over 50 years. Over 10,000 messages. And here we have something very important for us today. What do atheists do when they reach hell 1 second after they die? What do they do? What do they do when they reach Hades, I should say? Now, there's a difference between hell and Hades, isn't there? Yeah. First of all, atheists are no longer atheists. They have been atheists when they leave this world. They're no longer atheists. When they see God, when they see the angels coming after them, they know that there is eternal life, and they know that what they've done in life by denouncing God and refusing to believe in Him was a real big mistake forever. Forever. Now, Hades was created someplace back in eternity past. I don't know everything about Hades except that is a holding place for fallen angels that are so bad. It's also called the abyss. It's called the Tophet. There are many names for hell and Hades. But hell is an eternal place. If you look over here to the far right side of the map, there at the end of that, there is the lake of fire, which is hell, fire, and hell. Hades is not hell, fire. Even though there is fire there, there is great heat and torments there. There are many torments. Now, Marilyn, when you woke up today, you were hungry, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Sharon, when I talked to you a while ago, you said, "Do I have time to eat? Have something to eat?" And I said, "Yes." And so both of you girls were hungry today, weren't you?
Yeah.
At least once, yeah. If not twice. Marilyn had biscuits and gravy this morning. Big old biscuits and gravy. And you were hungry and you ate that. People in Hades haven't had a bite of food nor a drink of water, probably some of them for nearly 6,000 years. That's a long time. That's a long time to be hungry and thirsty, isn't it? It's going to be a long time when Hades is emptied out and they are judged at the Great White Throne Judgment and thrown into the lake of fire or eternal hell. And there are degrees in hell also. We have a story in the Bible here. It is a historical fact. It is a piece of history. In some of your Bibles, it will say the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It is not a parable. I want to say that two or three more times. The story of the rich man and Lazarus is not a parable. It is not a parable. It's a real historical fact. This happened. This is recorded by Luke in the 16th chapter. Starting in verse 19. Now we have two main characters here, but there are more. You might even put Abraham in there as a character because you hear his voice from Hades. You hear Dives or the rich man, you hear his voice from hell. Hades. You hear Abraham's voice. And here we have, by inspiration, Luke recording this historical event. It is a historical event. Now, every year or two, I try to preach on hell, and I try to preach on heaven, and I try to preach on the person of Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. These are very important Bible doctrines, aren't they? Are Bible doctrines necessary? Absolutely. I have preached in churches, and I preach the Bible, and people in this time and day, they don't want to hear the Bible preached for some reason. They're anti-intellectuals. I said, just talk about Jesus. Jesus is a very important doctrine in this. Very important. But the necessity for Jesus is extremely great because without Jesus, you've got this event in your life ahead if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Everyone that is lost will go to Hades. Now, at one time, before the cross of Calvary, every lost man and every saved man went to what we call the state of Hades. And the state of Hades was a place, and still is a place. I'm going to take a little marker pen here, and I'm going to show to you something like what Hades was. Hades. The Bible is going to explain that there was a place called Paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And there's a place of torments. And that there is a gulf between them so that they cannot pass over from one side to the other. Now, evidently, at least at this period of time, there was some kind of communication between the sides. Or at least the people in Hades, one of the torments was looking over there and seeing the people comforted and living in pleasure and happiness and joy, having plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and satisfied. There will never be any satisfaction in Hades at all, nor in eternal hellfire. Now let's begin this event in history. The voices from Hades. Hades was a temporary place for God's people that died in belief. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He went down into Hades also, and He preached to those people down there, the Bible says. And that when He rose, He took all of those people with Him, and He took them to heaven, to the third heaven where the abode of God is. Now there are no more saved people in Hades today. They're all emptied out. But now this event took place before the cross of Calvary and before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay? That's very important for us to know this. There was a certain rich man, we call him Dives, or Nineveh, and he had habitually dressed in purple. In other words, he was a king, or a prince of some sort, and fine linen was not sackcloth, was not the coarsest deal. Fine linen was something that was like cotton, soft to the flesh. Gaily living in splendor, and every day he did this. Every day. Now, there is nothing wrong in this world with being happy and having parties and such as that. There's nothing wrong with that. But this man was doing all this in defiance of God. Now, the story here is not between a poor man and a rich man, because there are rich men that are saved and know Jesus Christ. There was a certain, this is a specific, there was a specific rich man and a specific poor man in this event. And a certain specific poor man named Lazarus. Do you remember what Lazarus means? It's a shortened form of Eliezer. And the name Eliezer means God helps. But the name Lazarus means helpless. This poor man named Helpless was laid at the gate of this rich man's compound, his gated city, his gated home. And it says that it was covered with sores from whatever, maybe had some type of staph infection. Maybe had some type of skin disease. Longing to be fed with the crumbs falling from the rich man's table. Now, this man was hungry all the time. He was hungry in the morning, and he was hungry when he went to bed at night. It's not easy to go to bed hungry. Did you know that? Because your stomach will gnaw at you all night long. Wake up hungry in the middle of the night, hungering. Longing to be fed with the crumbs. These word crumbs here are the fleems. At a rich man's table, they laid up to this table, and they would get food, and if they found something that just didn't taste right, whatever it might be, they would throw it over their shoulder and land on the floor. And then the servants go to go by and pick up all these fleems. The fleems. The discards. And would throw them over the fence to the wild dogs, the coyotes, hyenas, whatever was out there, and according a beggar. Now, dogs would hang around these compounds looking for the fleas. And so was a poor man by the name of Helpless or Lazarus. Longing to be fed with the fleas that were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now, there is a certain amount of antibiotic behavior in dog saliva. They lick themselves, and cats lick themselves, and there's a certain amount of saliva in that. Verse number 22, now it came about that the poor man died. Now, in the Hebrew language, of course this is Greek here, but in the Hebrew language, it means that he died and stayed dead. We milked. And this poor man died and stayed dead. Except that only his body was in death asleep, so to speak. His spirit and soul were taken someplace else. When every man dies, whether you're an atheist or a believer or unbeliever, when you die, you're escorted to one or two places. Now you're escorted to the third heaven, the abode of God, if you're saved. If you're lost, you're escorted to Hades. And the poor man died, and he was carried away by angels, and there's at least two angels, because this is plural. Now, my opinion and understanding of this is that when you're born, and even when you're conceived, that there are two angels that witness your conception, that you become a human being at that point. At the point where a child is conceived, he is a real person right then. And I believe angels witness to that fact. Because whether a child is aborted, whether a child is miscarried, it is a child and it is an eternal person. Eternal person. And that's why abortion is such an evil crime. It is murder. Abortion is murder. As simple as that. Now, if a child is miscarried for some reason, the mother's body or whatever it is, maybe she has an accident or whatever. In the Old Testament, it talks about babies, and these are what we called napios or braphos. A braphos in Greek, it means a conceived child. We get a word brief from that. Very brief child. Among the American Indian people, they believe that at conception you were a person. And that your life began at conception. And that when you were born, you were nearly a year old. It makes us feel a little older, doesn't it? Because Marilyn, were you around 9 months before you were born? Were you in existence? Were you alive? Yes. Sharon, you were alive. I was alive. Now, I believe, and I believe the Bible to teach this, I don't have time to go into that right now, but I believe that every aborted child and every miscarried child will be with God in heaven. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of them that can't believe yet. I believe all of those that die under the age of accountability are also get to be with God. Verse number 22, now it came about that the poor man died and stayed dead and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. This is Hades. This is a place in Hades. He's carried away by angels. When we're conceived, I believe the angels are there. I believe that when we're birthed, the angels witness it. I believe when we're born again, angels witness that. And great possibly that the angels that witness it when we die come to take us into eternal life or eternal death. And the poor man died and he was carried away by the angels of Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died. And his body was buried. But that's not the end of him. His body was buried, but that wasn't the end of him. Let's see what happens after your body is buried, or even 1 second after you die. I preached a message one time at Hound and Country Baptist Church, 1 second after you die. And it was number one download in the world. And it stayed there in the week and stayed there in the month. It was a very important message. Now we'll see what happens. Did Lazarus, did Dives or Nineveh, did they go into a state of oblivion? Into a soul sleeping? You know, there's groups of people who believe in soul sleeping. There's no such thing as soul sleeping. There's soul living here and soul consciousness. I remember when my mother died. We knew she was going to die, and I And I told her, I said, Mama, go and meet your mother. They're waiting for you. Just turn loose of this world and go. And she did. Marilyn, you were there. You were there. It's a sad thing when you see someone you love leave this world. But this isn't the only place. I'll tell you what a sad thing is. It's a sad thing to see somebody you love go to hell or Hades and then go to hell. Now let's look at this. Let's see what happens after you die. Voices from Hades. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Being in torments. And saw Abraham so he could see. He was conscious. He knew who he was. He knew what he had left behind. He could smell. He could taste. He could feel. And he knew whether it was hot or cold, didn't he? And evidently, even without a resurrected body, our souls resemble who we are in form. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off. He recognized who Abraham was, the barriers that we have in this world. I don't know what Abraham looked like, but when I die, I will know him. I will know Moses. I will know Jesus. I will know these people. Because the scales of our eyes and understanding in this world are taken away when we cross over into that wonderful land. He saw Abraham far off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus was no longer helpless, was he? Verse number 24. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Now, Lazarus is not diseased anymore. Lazarus is not in torments. Lazarus is not in pain anymore. Lazarus has no more hunger. Lazarus is not dressed in rags any longer. Let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Evidently in Hades, it's like a sauna. Like a steam room all the time. Now, a long time ago, I guess at least 40 years ago, more than 40, In Bakersfield, I worked hard. I had a radio business. I was buying and selling radios. I was working as a mechanic, preaching. And I was cutting firewood, and firewood is a real hard job. If you want to get in shape, go out and cut firewood every day. Cut about 2 or 3 cords of firewood every day and see what kind of shape you're in. I went to a gym. It was called Joseph's Gym. It's called Big Tanny's. It had different names at different times. Now, I didn't go there to get in shape. I went there to relax. I wanted to go in the hot tub, and I wanted to go in the sauna and the steam room and all that. I always wanted to go into the steam room. I always wanted that. I just thought it would be really good to go into the steam room. You see all these people, these rich people, and I know your father went to steam rooms all the time, Marilyn, had massages and all that stuff all his life. Well, I wanted to give myself this little luxury and go there. So I went in and I joined it for a year at a time, and they came out and said, what do you want to do to get in shape? And I said, I'm in shape. I don't need to do anything to get in shape. I'm in shape. I'm in wonderful shape. I said, if you could stay with me, it would be a miracle. Well, they said, go in that aerobics class over there and see how you think you're in shape. I went in the aerobics class and just did all of everything and come out of there without a sweat. Just nothing. They looked at me and my heart had settled all down and everything. They said, you're in shape. I said, I told you that. All I want to do is go swimming and be in the hot tub and go in the steam room. That's what I want to do. And I did. And I had a good time. That was a real comfort. I wouldn't have wanted to stay in that steam room. I stayed in there for 15, 20, 30 minutes at a time, and then I'd go get into the shower, and then I'd go out there and jump in the jacuzzi, and I'd go swimming in the swimming pool, and all of this. This was really nice. I wouldn't want to stay in that steam room forever. There was also a room of dry heat in there, and it was just no humidity, and you went in there, and it just dried you out. I wouldn't want to stay in there very long at all. I didn't like being in there. I didn't go in that room very much. But that's like Hades. He said, I am in agony. I am in agony in this flame. It's a heated place. Now, people in Alaska, when they die and go to Hades, especially if it's in wintertime, maybe for a moment, it will feel good. But we're talking about for a long time. We're talking about people being in Hades for 6,000 years. This man here, Dives, or Nineveh, has been there for at least 2,000 years. And it's every day is the same. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's in torments. Every day. He can see. He can feel. He can hear. I'm in agonies in this flame. But Abraham said, child. Now, Abraham, these are voices from Hades, okay? We can hear these voices through these printed words. I want you to imagine you're hearing their voices tonight because they're real. But Abraham said, child, remember. Can he remember in Hades? Yes. Well, can people remember in Hades? Yes. Will they know the family they left behind? Yes. Will they want anybody else to go to Hades? No. One time I called this a love letter from hell. This man still loved. He loved. He loved. He remembered. He was in agony. He saw, he heard, he felt. He tasted. Remember that during your life. And life is very brief. Now, Marilyn, we got older in life. We're not going to die young if we die today, are we? No. We live long lives. We're not going to die young if we die today. But if you live 75 or 85 or 90 or 110 years, it's a brief time compared to eternity. Marilyn, you had an aunt that lived, how old was she? Aunt Silence? 104 years old. You had another aunt that, or cousin that lived to be 111, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's short life compared to eternity. Those are long lives, but they're short lives compared to eternity. I was watching Groucho Marx, and the older man came on there, and he looked like he was about 65 years old. He was 102 years old. He said, I had Groucho. He said, how old do you think I am? He said, 60. He said, you better go up a little more. He said, 70 more. 80 more. 90 more. He said, 100 more. And Groucho looked at him and he says, more? He said, how old are you? He said, 102. That's quite a while. That's quite a while on earth, but it is nothing compared to eternity. Child, remember that during your life you received good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. And it's not what you have in life. My brother came here yesterday and visited for a little while. And he said, I'm really happy you've got a comfortable home. This is beautiful. It's very beautiful. I said, it's comfortable. If it's blowing, if we have hard, cold winters, or if it's hot outside, we are comfortable in here, aren't we? Yeah. That's nice. Lazarus didn't have that. Now, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. You know if Jesus Christ is your Savior, mm-hmm. Marilyn. And just because we have a house over our head and an automobile to ride in and food to eat, it doesn't mean we're terrible sinners, does it?
No.
But here we have an example, an event, a historical event of a rich man and a poor man, but the rich man was lost and the poor man was saved. Now, we could have had a rich man that was saved and a poor man that was lost too, couldn't we? But we're talking about one historical event here, and this is the historical event. The rich man is lost. The poor man is saved. And this poor man was a beggar. People had to carry him there. He was a cripple. He was maybe at least paraplegic. He couldn't walk. We know that. At the most, he could crawl around using his arm. We have people in the Bible, paralytics in the Bible, that were healed by Jesus, didn't we? I guarantee you one thing, if you're suffering from cancer in this world, if you're suffering from heart disease or anything you may be suffering from, when you die in Christ, you will have it no more. He said, but now he is being comforted and you are in agonies. And verse number 26. And besides all these things, between us and between you, there is a great gulf or chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from here there to us. Now he remembers. Then he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. Who's he talking about? Lazarus. Send Lazarus to my father's house. To my family. To my fatherland, so to speak. He's worried about the people that live in his father's house. For I have five brothers that he may warn them lest they come here also to this place of torments. So he looked back and he remembered that he had five brothers and that he did not want them to come to this place. I've had people tell me, I don't care whether I go to heaven or hell. If I go to heaven, I'll have no friends there. I tell you what, if they hit Hades, they're sure going to want to go back home and tell their wives that they left them behind, their husbands that they left behind, their sisters, their brothers, and others that they left behind, that this is not a place you need to go. Believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. But Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have the Bible, the Old Testament. That's enough, isn't it? Why, Job talked about the resurrection. We have Moses talking about believing in Jehovah, the arm of God. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them read their Bible. Then they didn't have the New Testament, did they? These people here didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all the way to Revelation. Let them read that. A lot of people have Bibles in their houses that they never open. I heard the story. One of a great politician and a great preacher. was telling the story of about a boy that came to him for help. And this boy had got involved with organized crime. And he told him, he said, "Now, son, you can stay there in that, or you can turn your life around with the help of God." Well, he believed in God. And he turned his life around, but he was going to turn state's evidence on these people. That's one of the things he had to do, was he had to confess what he had done and who he had done it with. Well, Francis Charan was a hitman for the mafia, and he was a hitman for Jimmy Hoffa, Russell Buffaloni, Sam, the one that had Kennedy killed. Now, Francis Charan, the mafia told him, Russell Buffaloni told him, "Yeah, we did everything we could do for Jimmy, and Jimmy wouldn't shut up." "Now, Frank, you've got to go kill him. Make it as painless as you can, but you got to do it. You don't have a choice. Because you know me, you won't have to die with him. But you have to take him out." Francis Charan was a contract man. He also was a head of a local union. As a matter of fact, he was the one that got Joe Biden in office as senator. He opened the door. He also pulled a little crooked strings here and there for him. He was a contract killer. He killed a lot of men. Well, this young man, there was a contract put out on him. And it's not comfortable to have a contract on you, is it, Marilyn?
No.
We've had one on us, haven't we? I've had several on me. It's not comfortable to have a contract on you. But what's more uncomfortable is when they fulfill it. Now, this contract killer went out to kill this young man and to stop him from talking. And he had a brand new Bible in his house that actually had never been opened. The contract killer, they knew who the contract killer was for this mafia and this local gang. They knew who he was. But he went in and shot the boy in the back of the head, assassinated him like a hit. But he made a mistake. The Bible was there, brand new Bible, and he opened up and he put his fingerprints in the book of Ezekiel. The police office took that Bible and they dusted that Bible for fingerprints, and there his fingerprints were. They could prove that he was there, and they knew that he was a hitman, and they knew that he killed him. Life without parole. Well, the boy was a believer when he went on to be the Lord. Fingerprints. The fingerprints in that Bible convicted that man. Wouldn't it have been so much if he'd have ripped that Bible up and read the Bible and just said, God, forgive me for what this deed I'm about to do, and help me to go back home and become a kind of Christian you want me to be. But that's not what happened. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, and I don't want them to come to this place of torment. This is a voice from Hades, my people. But Abraham said, they have Moses and prophets, let them hear them. Oh, Father Abraham, but if someone goes back from the dead, they will repent. Did they? Was the other Lazarus raised in Jerusalem? The brother of Mary and Martha, was he raised? What happened? Did those Jews want to believe after that? No, they put a contract out on him and Jesus. They fulfilled the one on Jesus. They hired the assassin by the name of Judas Iscariot. He pointed him out. Verse number 31 now. From this historic event, we have these words from Hades. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Yes, someone rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, the lifetime friend of Jesus, was raised from the dead. A woman's son was raised from the dead. A daughter was raised from the dead. And all this was going on. Did they believe? What do you do to believe? How do you get to heaven? What's the key to heaven? First of all, you have to follow God's program. It's not what you can do for God or what you can do for the world that's going to get you to heaven. It's not going to be if you give all your money and everything that you have and work your whole life through to be a good person, you'll be in the wrong company when you leave this world. It will be better for you, but you'll still be in the same place. What do you do? What is the key to eternal life?
Asking for forgiveness.
Believe in Jesus Christ, that He is God the Son, that He came to die for your sins. You believe in that? Do you believe that He died on the cross of Calvary? That He wasn't swooned in death? That it wasn't a fabricated story? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jehovah, in the flesh, died on the cross of Calvary? He was buried in a tomb, and then He was raised forevermore. He died for our sins, was raised for our justifications. You do that, repenting of your sins and believing in God. By the way, the faith, it says in the book of Ephesians, for in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When you are born again, yes. When you ask the Lord to save your soul, you have a brand new spirit in you. You have the Spirit of God in you to comfort you and to lead you in this world. You have eternal life. You have eternal life because of what Jesus did for you, not what you can do. No pope can give you forgiveness of sins. No priest can forgive your sins. Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, none of those people can forgive your sins. They can lead you astray and away from God. Only Jesus can forgive your sins. Pray, Father, forgive me where I failed you. Forgive me of my sins. Please give me a new spirit in my life. Help me to walk for you. I believe in your Son. I believe that He died on the cross of Calvary. I believe that He was raised. I believe that He lives forevermore. I believe He's my intercessor. And you have eternal life. Your worries and troubles will not end when you're saved. They'll only just begin. Because you're going to be in this world. but you will have eternal life from now on. Our Father, we send this message out to glorify and honor you. And Father, please, the voices from Hades we hasten to. We adhere to, we listen. Father, I pray this message touches people's hearts all over the world, that it will lead them to eternal life and to salvation. And those that are saved, that they'll have a renewed spirit to lead others to our Savior, that they might not be part of the voices of Hades. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.